Now let's open our Bibles to the two portions of Scripture. The first portion would be Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 32 and 33, and then Philemon, verses 5 and 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, and then Philemon, verse 5 and 6. I trust that we have it. Let us start at Ephesians 5, 32. And it reads, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Philemon verse 5 and 6 reads, "Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." Amen. Don't know if anyone realized, and I just want to bring back to memory, February 5th, me and my wife, we celebrated our 11-year anniversary of being married. Known her for 20 years. We know each other. We love each other. We care for each other. And every day of my life, and especially on my anniversary, I'm always concerned. I'm always concerned with, am I what Christ desires for husbands to be? What Christ not, and I want you to think about what I'm saying. Not so much what I desire. Not so much even what my wife desires. Am I what Christ desires? Am I following the model that he has what a husband should be to his wife? And what I want us to look at is how for many, many years I was looking at this the wrong way. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Back to Ephesians 5. And we're just going to read down from verse 21 on down. And I want husband and wife to look at not themselves in this message. And what you see when we read from Ephesians 5, 21 down, I'm going to ask us individually. I don't want to throw it out there. I'm going to ask the class to join me. And what do you see? Verse 21, and it reads, Ephesians 5, 21 reads, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also had loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So are men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." For many, many years, for many, many, many times reading this, I put the focus on me and my wife and me. When you read verse 32, it tells you truly what was the primary focus. The primary thing that Paul is saying here is, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, with me saying that, with the Word of God saying that, what I have to be careful, what you have to be careful, is we need to learn how to live out the wisdom and grace of God in our marriage. Listen close. By reciprocating Christ, not one another. Do you understand how many marriages break up and get splitted up and separated and sometimes divorced because they're stuck on what the husband is doing, what the wife is doing? They're stuck on happy wife, happy life. They're stuck on, this is a man's world. They're not stuck on, and I'm talking to members of the body of Christ, they're not stuck on, they're not acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We are acknowledging the wrong person in our marriages too often. Go back to Philemon 1 and 6. Let's look at verse 5. Let's look at this. And see, and let me explain something about me. I understand the Word of God equips me. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished inside out unto all good works. I look for the Word of God to tell me about man and our shortcomings and how he's going to equip us unto all good works. I look for that. Now, with that being said, Philemon 1 and 5 reads, look at what Paul says to Philemon. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward who? The Lord Jesus and toward all saints. The body of Christ is really what the picture of Ephesians 5:21 is focusing on. So as we look at that, we're going to turn again to Ephesians 5. And what I want us to see is what Christ does for his body is what we should be reciprocating to husband and wife as members of his body. We look, I say again, as we renew our mind, hear me good. Our focus when we walk by faith and not sight, it goes from when we was unsaved, it goes from here to now this way. You get it? We want what the head of the body nourishes and cherishes us with to nourish and cherish the body with. Not, you know what? Treat me funny, wife. I'm going to treat you funny. Show me love. That's when I reverence you. When you do right, I do right. Is that what the verses teach? Do we do that, though? Do we go there in the privacy of our mind occasionally? You know why? You know why I don't reverence you? Because you act funny. You know why I don't love you the way you think I should love you? Because you don't reverence me. Is the verses saying reciprocate one another? Is that not what many marriages do?
The law is that
principle. What you say, brother?
The law is that principle.
Come on. Come on. It really is. Get this. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How so? By the acknowledging, take this personal, husband, take this personal, wife. That by the acknowledging of how many things? Every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So when I'm thinking with the mindset of she go get the love that God is after me giving her when she reverence me, am I acknowledging me or am I acknowledging every good thing which is in me in Christ Jesus? And I got to remember, this is the dispensation of the grace of God. He's just giving grace out. He just is God reciprocating to mankind what mankind deserves?
No.
You see, I have to understand that the verses is teaching me, stop looking at her and just start cherishing and nourishing her the way I do my body. But I say again, the world get caught up in this happy wife, happy life. Just give her what she needs. She's always right. Just let her be right. And you know what? And I love to go on topics that's sensitive because those are the topics that we really need to turn to the Word of God and open up and say, can we deal with this? Can we see what God has to say about this? But see, a lot of us, we stray away from that. We put our guard up. We want to duck behind that. or we don't want to comment about it. The question is, have God in His Word made some clarity to these things? And get this, has He equipped us to walk in and walk the way He desires for us to walk? Has He equipped His body to treat husband and wife the way that husband and wife should learn how to treat each other? So yes, let's go back to Ephesians 5. So the first thing we go look at is, what I want you to see is, we should treat His, Christ's body, the way He treats His body. He loves it, He gave Himself for it, He nourishes it, He cherishes it, and get this, He presents it to Himself holy and without blemish. So we go, first of all, we got to recognize, what have Christ given us that now I can acknowledge? Has He really given us something? Let's start at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I say and I say again, for years I used to read this and my focus was wife and husband. It wasn't head of the body, which is Christ, and body of Christ. And that's where, guess what? If you put primary what should be secondary, is your order of prioritizing in the right order? Of what now truly is the primary thing, the body of Christ and the head of the body that's being taught, or is it husband and wife that's being taught? Let's look at the verses and let's see. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of who? Okay. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of who? And He is the Savior of the. Who is He? What's really going on here? Have any of you been in that predicament that I was all those years, just focusing on husband and wife as you turned in? If we could be honest, how many of us, first time reading that, since the moment you were saved, said, yo, that's body of Christ primary and the head talking. That's the head of the body and that's the body. I was husband and wife. I'm going to see what she's supposed to be. See, yep, I'm head. Head over here. Submit. Is that really what's going on? Let's continue to read. Let's get some things on the board that we can reference this to. You see, we really have to understand how graceful the Lord Jesus Christ is. We really have to come to acknowledge how He really gives us everything to fulfill what He is after us being pleasing in. So verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. At the top, we just go simply Christ, okay? And verse 23 says that He is the head of the who? Amen? Head of the church, Savior of the body, right? I'm sorry, yeah, 23. Christ is the head of who? Of the church. You see, it's so embedded in our mind, we just so husband, wife, and we gotta come to grips with acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, and He's not directly talking to husband, wife, in that sense first, as husband, wife. You're a member of His body. You're a member of the body of Christ. Learn to think like His body. Because when you learn to think about His body, He will teach you how to care for His body. Amen. Head of the church. And it also said He's in that same verse, what? Savior of the body. Okay? So, 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. So guess what the wife's supposed to look at in verse 24? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, what's the primary teaching in the context? The church in Christ. Amen. Verse 23 again, it said, head of the church, Savior of the body. Verse 24 we just read, let's go to 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. What did Christ do? Loved the church. And what else did He do? Gave Himself for it. And gave Himself for it. Let's get that. So, verse 25 said He gave Himself for His church, right? What else can we write from verse 25? He loved the church. He gave Himself for it, loved it, got it backwards. Let's go to verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Do you get that? You see what's going on? As I read this, and as a member of the body of Christ, I'm getting to understand what Christ has done for me, to me, as a member of his body. Get this, to present me to himself. Verse 27, that he might present it to who?
Himself.
Now, how is he going to present his body to himself? It says, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Let's finish the verse. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Think about the many times husband and wife disappoint, disagree, and bicker. And think about if on the flip side, we just study this passage together and look at it as members of his body. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing, and maybe some of us are, wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if husband and wife come to the scriptures and say, you know what? Let's look at our head and let's see what he has done to strengthen us, to equip us to live the way he desires for me and you to live as husband and wife. Meaning, guess what, honey? Know what I want us to do in this study? Not acknowledge any spot, wrinkle, or blemish within me. But let's acknowledge what Christ has done to remove the spot, remove the wrinkle, remove the blemish that he presents us to himself. In this study, let's just boast about what he has done to make us members of his body. Is that truly giving glory to God? I ask, how pleasing would that be? And we know he's omnipresent. He's watching husband and wife, focusing not on each other's spots, wrinkles, and blemishes, but on how he cleansed his body. And say, you know what, baby? You're a member of his body. I'm a member of his body. You know what we got to start doing? We got to start understanding that we got to hope that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging that every good thing which is in us is Christ Jesus. You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to just start telling you how gentle you are. I'm going to start telling you how meek you are. I'm going to start telling you how temperate you are. I'm going to tell you, you can have yourself an awesome day because you are walking by faith and not by sight. Why you go tell me that? I just said, you got this bad thing going on, that bad thing going on. You don't say this to me. You don't do that for me. I'm acknowledging every good thing which is in me. Oh, I'm acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And guess what? You in Christ Jesus just like I am. So even though you're not acknowledging that in me, can I acknowledge Christ in you? Whew. That's powerful. Because, see, that's one of the tricks of the enemy is for us not to apply the word of God. Acknowledge her.
That's right.
Acknowledge his externalness. You see him? You see him? He's losing patience with you. Get him. Tell him about the last time. Tell him about why you got no faith that he gonna go ahead and do things as he already should. Keep telling him about his blemishes. He's trying to walk right. She's trying to really get in that word and understand who she is in Christ. Just keep telling her what she did 3 years ago, though. You remember when God was on that vacation and you took a left and you should not took that left? Huh? We spend too much time acknowledging the wrong person. We spend too much time in marriage acknowledging the wrong person. Okay, so Black Church, he gave himself for it. Why? Because he wanted to sanctify it. What that word sanctify means? He wanted to set it apart unto himself. Imagine husband and wife really understanding who they both are in Christ. And they both just feeding each other and cherishing each other and nourishing each other with that. Sanctify it. Cleanse it. And it said, how so? Water by the what? Come on. So we, husband and wife, not leaning to their own understanding, but they're relying and trusting in the word of God. Verse 27, once again, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Imagine husband and wife having a Bible study and somebody thinking y'all yelling and y'all fighting up in there. Y'all saying, glory to God!
Baby, we need more coffee. Because we're going to reread this. Go ahead and get another pot going.
Kids walking in the house. Y'all all right? We all right.
And you see, that Philemon 1 and 6, we have to learn how to place that everywhere. We bring that to parenting. We bring that to the office with us. We bring that to school with us. It don't just stay like in the privacy of our mind. Man, I get what that verse say. No, let that verse work out of you. You acknowledging that verse when you disappoint people, when people disappoint you, when you disagree, when y'all bump heads, that's where you bring that verse into the picture. Amen. And in all things, let's not limit the verse, okay? 28, show up man to love their lives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, once again, you kept hearing me saying husband and wife who say, got to share the gospel with this. Because without having the Spirit of God, one cannot apply Philemon 1 and 6. So what does one have to do? What is the gospel, saints? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you that which I have also received, that Christ died for our what? According to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again what? According to the scriptures. So now you got the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God, you got the mind of Christ, and with the mind of Christ, you can understand the Word of God. And that word is going to sanctify you, it's going to cleanse you, and you're going to start to understand, to acknowledge the right one in your marriage relationship. Amen? You're going to acknowledge the right one in your marriage relationship. What part of our salvation, what part of our salvation for our walk on earth is this essential? Our sanctification, amen? Sanctify, justify, sanctify, glorify. So I got to bring this to my sanctification. And in a practical sense, husband and wife have to really learn that your position of what? Of spirit, body, and soul. Spirit first, the mind. We got to learn how to get this in our minds in order to dispense this in our households. Amen? Now come to Romans chapter 12. It's just certain verses that whenever you're talking about your practical sanctification, you have to go to Romans 12. It's just certain verses that's like, okay, I got 13 verses, I got 20 verses that I'm looking at for this topic. If it's a practical sanctification verse, Romans 12 is most likely in there. You know? So the first two verses, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. This is what it is to be in Christ. Christ in you. Recognizing this. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what service? Reasonable service. And that's one of the beauteous things. When you start to understand the Word of God, you start to let it work in you. You start to see things that you thought was exceptionally like mind-blowing. It's just reasonable service. You ever have something blow you away? You're like, well, this is reasonable service? Man, I thought it was a big deal. Yeah, we did, but it has everything to do with understanding that Christ can be perfected in our weaknesses. Amen? Amen? Amen. Has everything to do with understanding that. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what, or why I keep referencing the husband and wife having a Bible study. Looking at their gender roles and seeing that as secondary and not primary. Honey, first, we members of his body. We members of his body. And then on top of that, as members of his body, he wants his body to learn how to care for one another. So me and you got to learn how to care for one another with the Word of God. We have to. Matter of fact, come to Ephesians 4 for a moment. Ephesians 4. You see, because sometimes when we come to service, when we get here, when we get in this room, we recognize and we initially think about us caring for one another, and we should. But if the husband and wife are both married, they're married and they're members of the body of Christ, that's them caring for one another too, right? Yes, yes. It's them caring for one another too, right? Listen to this, husband and wife. Let's go to verse 15. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the what? The head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the what? Effectual working and the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what? In love. So me and wife, you and your wife, just building each other up with the word of God, edifying each other up in what? In love, speaking the truth. You know what, honey? There's some things that I just really start to need to acknowledge more and more about who Christ is, and that I got to learn how to live them out. I got to learn how to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I have to learn how to do this. So you just be patient with me. Well, you be patient with me too then, baby, because we got to learn how to do this together. Okay? We got to learn how to. And this is what that, look at verse 16. From whom the what body? The whole body fitly joint together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Husband and wife, both saved, they both members of the body of Christ. Back to the verse. According to the effectual working, the impact that the word of God, that word effectual, desire, impact, work, effectual working in the measure of what part? Every part. Make his increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, Sunday after Sunday, and even with the Wednesday studies, do you know we after building one another up in Christ and his word? This is what we after. Should it be any difference in how husband and wife approach one another? Should it be any difference? For years it has been. In my life, can I be honest with you? I used to be one. It was easier for me. And if this is just us as being in Adam, being in this fallen bodies, in this fallen world, how easy is it for us to acknowledge the deficiencies of one another? It takes nothing, does it? As easy as breathing is, that's how easy it is for us to recognize one another's faults. It's easy. You don't need any skill to do so. Even if you never say it verbally, you see it up there. There he go again. There she go. Oh, I hate when they do that when they go in the kitchen. They're slamming the microwave. Doing this, doing that. We all got our things. Let's be honest. Okay, it's 3 a.m. The water in the bathroom been running for how long now? Huh? I hate when they do that. Then they come back and you act like you sleep. You know, somebody know what I'm talking about. You on the other side. This is what we do. So it's not a word of God. It has certain warning signs for us about us. It's certain warning signs for us about us. Come to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. We need to understand. It's some things about us that get in our way of acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Okay? We got problems. Because we still waiting for that one part of our salvation to be fulfilled. The redemption of our bodies. Until the body get that, until we get that glorified, incorruptible new body, we are living in this sinful, fallen body of Adam. And it by its natural state of this fallen state, it is just so easy for us to deceive ourselves. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, and it reads, "The heart is deceitful above how many things? All things." Let's see, and it says, "It is what? Desperately wicked, who can know it?" So now we want to get some things. This is our warning box, okay? Warning box. It's things about us that the Word of God, and when I say warning box, it warns us about certain things, warns us about who? About us. That's the beauty of the Word of God, like, and this is a gentle topic because my daughter is going to be studying psychology when she goes to college. human understanding. And I believe it's an awesome thing. I used to be very interested in it as well. But it's so important for her to understand human understanding. It's the way the humans perceive whatever topic they are teaching in that class at that time. It's their understanding. But now God gives us an understanding about us that honestly, it takes a little to swallow. It takes a little to swallow because what's mankind's natural affection or understanding when it comes to the heart of man? I may got my issues over here. I may got my issues over there. But I got a good what? I got a good heart. God knows my
heart.
Does God know our heart?
Yes,
and let's again see, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Does that sound like God knows my heart and I got a good heart?
No.
Let's think about this.
My flesh dwelleth no good things.
How many good things?
In my flesh dwelleth no good things.
This is a big deal. Because the big deal that I want to remember, I got to be on the watch out for this in my what? You think that don't want to creep in my marriage? Do you think that's not going to try to make its way into my marriage? Meaning, now how does it look when it makes its way into my marriage? Come to Proverbs chapter 12. How does it look? It looks like this. Verse 15. We're going to look at three verses in Proverbs. If these are not highlighted in your Bible, highlight these in your Bible. Proverbs 12, 15 says, the way of a fool is right in whose eyes? His own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is what? I need to hearken unto the counsel of the Word of God that told me in Jeremiah 17:9 what? The heart is deceitfully, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can understand it? Amen? So Jeremiah 17:9, that's a warning verse for me about me. Also Proverbs what? Proverbs 15:12-15. Okay, so I don't want to be seen as someone who still, are there say foolish individuals in their understanding of their practical walk?
Yes.
Truly is. It truly is. We want to be warned not to be that. In the latter part of the verse, taking this to a 2 Timothy 3:16, that to all scripture is profitable unto doctrine, right? But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is what? Wise. We want to hearken unto the Word of God, amen, and His sound doctrine rightly divided. Turn to chapter 16, still in Proverbs. Something else that should be highlighted. Proverbs chapter 16, you go look at verse 2, okay? And it reads, all the ways of a man are clean in whose eyes? His own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. That verse tells me when there are particular circumstances, topics, situations in daily life, when I'm going through certain things or all things and I don't have a verse to foundationally stand on or verses in a sound doctrinal manner, I have to beware because I'm going to look for a way to say what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and even the way that I'm doing it is clean. Is that going to make my way, its way in my marriage? I don't got a verse for it. I'm totally convinced that this is something that I ought to do, I should do it, and I should do it this way. I got 30 different reasons, but not one verse. Can that cause havoc in my marriage? Can it really cause havoc in my marriage? And get this. Am I really acknowledging every good thing which is in me in Christ Jesus? And I can't acknowledge every good thing which is in me in Christ Jesus if I don't turn to His Word, but I'm going to still call that way clean. See, when I don't have a verse or verses, I really should have more than one verse, anything I'm dogmatic on. But I'm going to still see that all the ways of a man. Guess what this means? This means everybody who's on the face of the earth will tell you what they are doing, why they are doing it, and they will see it as clean, even if they are in a room with 100 people who see it totally unclean. You can't convince yourself why, because your heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. And that's what the heart is deceitfully, desperately wicked, and deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. This is what we do. That word deceitful means we are masters at fooling who? Ourselves. So when you don't got a verse, you're just fooling yourself that that way is what? Right and clean. But guess who eyes that is right and clean in? Yours and yours alone. Well, listen, I wasn't raised like that. How many of us bring down to marriage? You see, my mama, this is my daddy. Listen, your mama and your daddy is not the standard. But honey, no shot at your mama or daddy, my mama and daddy ain't the standard either. You see, husband and wife both doing this to the word of God. And doing this to their ways and their acknowledgement of things. It's going to get smaller. The word of God is going to get acknowledged in here in a sound, doctrinal, rightly divided manner. And we bring that to our marriage. And get this, we go show our families. We go show our neighborhoods. We go show our children. We can disagree. We can disappoint. But we always go do it in a foundational way that the word of God can reprove us, rebuke us, correct us, and instruct us. So guess what that means? That means if my ways aren't clean, they got to be corrected then. I got to acknowledge it. That's the beauty of the word of God. That's the beauty of the word of God. See, that's that him giving grace to the humble, amen? 21 and 2. Still Proverbs 21 and 2. I want you to think about, and we really want to keep individuals up in prayer who may be married to someone and that someone may not be saved. Because, listen, this is a hard thing to go against because look at Proverbs 21 and 2. Every way of a man is right in whose eyes? But the Lord pondereth the heart. Not some of the ways, every way. This is why they can go back and forth with you, and they will go back and forth. But sometimes we go back and forth on one another. Because we are really convinced our way of parenting outside of the word of God is their way. We convinced that every way is the right way. Even though it's not even acknowledging God in his word. This brings havoc and trouble to the marriage. And I'm telling you, if you ever had bumpy roads in your marriage that was based off husband and wife just not being able to come to common ground, it had everything to do with what one party or both parties, the person that they wasn't acknowledging. That's it. Believe that. They was putting too much emphasis on their ways, their understanding, and how they should do it. And was convinced that the way that they should do it is the way it should be done. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 now. So the first thing we looked at was how we should treat Christ's body the way he treats his body. We saw that he loves it, he gave himself for it, he nourishes it, he cherishes it, and he presents it to himself holy and without blemish. We was in Proverbs, we was in Jeremiah, we looked at how our ways are desperately wicked, although not in our own eyes, which means and proves our heart is deceitful above all things. Now we want to look at some things that the husband and wife should learn to acknowledge, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, there's some things we have to learn to acknowledge that the communication of our faith may be become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That word effectual, what we are to communicate is what we are reciprocating, what we have learned from Christ. That's the impact on why we need to learn what we are going to do and why we do it. Not because my wife is treating me nice today, so she's going to get treated nice today. Not because my husband had an awesome week with me, I just got it in return, just be as awesome to him as he was to me. When we think that way, that's not the way, that's not who we should, that's not reciprocating the right person. That's the heart of the matter. It's not reciprocating the right person. Ephesians chapter 1 reads, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Everything that we do, we got to learn how to acknowledge and link it to Christ. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, what we want to acknowledge is, he said, walk in the love. Who love are we walking in? Christ. And what? So now we want to walk in that love, the love of Christ toward who? One another. So who love really are we reciprocating? Our love for one another or his love for his body? His love for his body. It can his love for his can our love for one another outweigh his love for his body? You see, because it sounds quick, like, well, you're saying, like, I shouldn't love my wife. I'm saying that the primary love needs to be the love of Christ teaching you how to love your wife, teaching you how to reverence your husband. You and your love alone will always find a reason to lay that love aside sooner or later, to put it temporarily on hold. Am I right? Temporarily on hold. Oh, you got loud in front of me, in front of the in-laws. No, you didn't. In front of the in-laws, you embarrassed me. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Don't embarrass me in front of the in-laws. It's one thing when you silently play me when your kids around, but the in-laws? So guess what? Your mom will be over on Thanksgiving table. Try to tell by her mind, I'm going to get her. I'm going to get her. Amen? Sad thing, but who is true? 1 Corinthians 2. But we want to learn how that can diminish more and more. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2. See, it's these verses that we really always look at that there's a weight of importance to we just can't let go of. Let's start at verse 10 and work our way down. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth how many things? All things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Okay, so now this is the big deal of believing the gospel that saves, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the big deal of believing the right gospel, because once we believe the right gospel, we can have the Spirit of God. And in the middle of verse 11, even so the things of who? God no man knoweth but the what? The Spirit of God. When we believe the gospel, we receive the who? The Spirit of God. So now the Spirit of God can equip us to know what? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what given to us? Freely given to us of God. Galatians chapter 5. We have to understand that we did not earn the things that are given to us. What we are going to learn how to walk out and live in, we need to just recognize it has all been freely given to us. But what's the problem? Some of us, we just not accepting and using the access that has been provided. We got to learn how to apply the access that has been provided, and you don't have to work for it. It's amazing what the operation of God does the moment you believe the gospel. It's amazing. So now we go to Galatians chapter 5. Very, very familiar verse of scripture, but may never get dull, may always be sharp in our minds. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Should this be alive and living in our marriage? Is it a marriage that's healthy, a marriage that's
admirable. And if we can be honest, there are some people who we maybe saw growing up that had a marriage that we really admire. Like, man, it seemed like they got something special over there in that house when we go visit this auntie and uncle. That. And this is what, hear me, there's certain things people love to desire to be rich. People love to desire to live in a house on top of the hill. I'm not even going to say anything is, you know what I mean, like, ooh, you should not want to have a lot of money. What I'm saying is, think about the things that you desire in a higher press way, and think about the things that you should truly desire to really be after pursuing. We should be after pursuing to be those lights in the world, interdispensational truth. I know in Matthew 5 to talk about, you know, that the Israel is supposed to be a city on the hill, lights in the world, amen. That candle that cannot be hidden. But now in this dispensation of the grace of God, should we desire the same thing to show off the love of Christ? Let's look at this Galatians 5. Let's look at 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, to show off the love of Christ, joy, to show off the joy of Christ in our marriages, peace, to show off the peace of Christ, to show off the long suffering of Christ in our marriages. The world is to look at us and say, wow. And we say to them, it's Christ in me, yet not I. Yet not I. Well, how do you do it? Well, first, I believe the gospel that saves. I believe that gospel that saves, and now it's so many things that has been freely given to me. I'm learning how to acknowledge them, and that's what that word effectual is. It's having this impact on me because I really believe that it's the word of God. I really believe it's the word of God. I really believe what it tells me about myself. I really believe when I don't acknowledge the things that Christ sealed in me, put in me, freely gave me, I receive these things. When I understand, I have to watch out for this, but understand what he does for him, for his church, how he gave himself, and that he is after presenting me to himself because I'm a member of his body in a glorious way, that resonates and works its way out in my life. It works its way out. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because there's some things we got to watch out for. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're just going to read one verse here. Verse 7. And watch what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. And it reads, we need to understand also some things that God has not given us. Okay? For God has not given us the spirit of what? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why would you link that with a teaching on marriage? Because many times we lay aside reciprocating Christ's love for his body and us loving our husband, wife as members of his body with his love because of the fear, I'm going to get taken advantage of when I do this. He ain't going to acknowledge me. He ain't going to appreciate it. She ain't going to appreciate it. Can anybody relate to me with that? Can anybody? Because I'm going to keep being the meek one. I'm going to keep being the humble one. I'm going to keep being the one that long suffering. And he's just going to take advantage of it. See, when I do it, I'm just giving her my love. And she ain't reverencing me, though. She ain't learning. She supposed to be learning like it's Christ in me. But she ain't. God didn't give us that spirit of fear. But, his love. We have to understand the things. We have to understand what grace really means, what grace really is. It's not giving and giving what you earn and earn. It's not that. When that is like at the bedrock of our understanding, you don't got to give back in order for Christ to keep giving. What else do we got to give to him? In order for him to keep giving his grace to us, that it effectually works in us, we got to give what to him? Grace is not based on marriage. I have to keep telling myself that. Why am I going to put her in a merit box if grace is not based on marriage, and especially in this dispensation? But how many times do we? And that fear creep up. I can't do it. See, if I do it, she's just going to take advantage of it. She's going to take advantage of it. See, and I know y'all understand what I'm talking about. But see, but that mind of Christ, being when the love of Christ constrains you, when His word that you believe actually starts to resonate and be the propelling, motivating force in your life, this verse comes alive. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What He has gave you, I'm bringing His power to the situation. I'm bringing His love to the situation. I'm bringing His sound mind to the situation. I'm going to live out by His grace, His strength, what is the dispensation of the grace of God, the fellowship of the mystery. I don't mean ridiculous in a bad way. And also, it's ridiculous the grace that is just pouring upon the world day by day. Day by day. I want you to think of the most horrendous individual that you could think of living in the world today. And if we present the gospel to them and they trust it and believe it, they serve. I mean, somebody who thinks, somebody throw a name out. The Jihadis, or Jihadis, I'm thinking of the ISIS things, the people. Think about it. I mean, we really got to get this. Like, is there anyone that the grace of God can say, when you stop doing that, I'll save you?
Absolutely not.
You see, when we get that, it starts to take effect. Oh, you know what? I got to stop looking at her merits. I got to stop looking at her merits. I got to stop looking at her merits. Last verse, Colossians chapter 1.
We can't live other people's Christian lives for
us. Come on. We gotta learn how to stop spending too much time, I say again, acknowledging the wrong person. Acknowledging the works of the wrong person. We should be focused on acknowledging the finished and complete gracious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue to acknowledge that, how much of our past, present, and future sins are the Lord acknowledging once you are in Christ?
All of them.
No. How much is He acknowledging?
No,
thank you. He's forgiven us all of them. Thank you. Forgiven us all of them. How many of us will hang on to what was done a year ago? 3 years ago. We have to learn how not to do that. Amen? Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Let's read verses 9 through 11 and open the floor up. Verses 9 through 11. And 9 reads, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all what? Wisdom and spiritual understanding." This is totally linked to Philemon 1 and 6 now. It's His wisdom, it's His understanding that's going to effectually work in us, right? Verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." Is marriage, being careful how we live with our spouse, is that a good work? Okay. "And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." We need that alive in our marriages today. We need that unto all patience. Look at the end of verse 11. Unto all patience and long suffering with what? With joyfulness. We need that in our marriage. And if that's going to resonate in our marriage, believe me, we acknowledging the right person then. This is the heart of it. Be careful when we share stuff with people. We trying to get someone to help us. Spend the majority of the time talking about the Word of God if you're even looking for any counsel. Spend time on the solution. If you're talking to someone 60 hours, let's say you're having some type of marriage counseling. You're talking to someone for 60 minutes. Spend 10 minutes on the problem. Spend the other 50 in the Word and on the Word. Would you agree? Amen. Glory be to God. Questions, comments,
Hey,